All right, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Natalia.
And this is Till Death Do Us Part.
Hello?
Hello. I'm dog sitting four dogs today. Other than that, it's almost a chill day. Making sure the dogs don't kill each other, the cats don't kill each other, you know, because the cats want the dog's food, the dogs want the cat's food, and I'm stuck in the middle of it. It's a lot.
I mean, I guess all the pet food tastes the same. It's just marketed differently, right? It's all a con.
It's the fact that someone else has it.
Yeah.
I think is what it is.
They just want what the other one has. They're like children.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. It can be the exact same cookie. I want his.
Mm-hmm.
God, the things we have to put up with, I'm telling
you. I know.
You.
So did they put the electric back on or?
So it's not fixed. What I did is get like a 50-foot extension cord so that I could run the Wi-Fi to another outlet in the kitchen so that my children would not mutiny and burn the house down because it was getting real ugly here.
To be honest, I wouldn't last either because I've made the mistake of allowing my husband, who's store manager at Best Buy, so he buys the latest and greatest. So if the internet goes out, I can't turn the lights on. I can't operate anything. I can't use my TV. Can't do anything. So I'm screwed.
It was like the world was ending. I'm like, guys, you'll be fine. You can do something besides online gaming. What's going on in my house?
So here, it wasn't supposed to be a crazy week at all. And then when my family hears that, they hear, oh, well, will you help us with this? Can we get a ride here? Will you do this? And I mean, I love him to death. So I say yes to everything. Devin, he is turning 22 and he sent me his birthday list in an email. And he said, because I don't want a bunch of gifts that I don't want, I'm sending out a list of things that I actually do want, and here it is. And it was like a long, long email. And I was like, oh, all right, awfully bold of you, but okay. So I had a conversation with him because he is doing a good job. He got a job. He helps out with his grandma a lot. He helps his mom, and he is autistic, but he's doing really, really well. And so I'm proud of him. And so I said, pick one thing on your list that you really want. Like if there's a game that you'd be disappointed you didn't get on your birthday, let me know and we'll talk about it. And so he has been stressing out about this and I feel bad, but he sent me, maybe I can pull up the text message because I want to, instead of asking for just a game, he said, I can't really narrow it down to two ideals. I've been really thinking about what you asked, and I never really answered your question earlier. The first thing, and then he told me about the first thing he wanted. And the second is about a Junji Ito collection on Blu-ray. But at the moment, I already own everything except one magazine. It's about $400, which is out of my price range. And it fits in my collection nicely. Speaking of books, if you want to read one, just let me know. I was like, wow. So I'm taking screenshots of this like back and forth conversation and I'm sending it to my husband because I'm like, you got to be a part of this because I'm dying of laughter because I know how sweet and innocent he is. But I'm just like, are you freaking kidding me? I was thinking like $50, $35, like we'll go to GameStop or Best Buy or whatever. I'll buy you a game. And he whips out this magazine. And so I was just like, oh, okay, all right. Then we went to the doctor the other day, and it's always a long process. And at the end of it, he wants to have a big party because there are a lot of August birthdays in our family. And so he wants to plan a party. And I said, okay, great. What do you want to do? And he made the mistake of asking everyone what their favorite flavor of cake is. And he said, hey, I really need your help on Friday giving me a ride to pick up the cakes. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, Rich likes carrot cake. I like cheesecake. My mom likes tiramisu. And I need help picking up all these cakes. I was like, wait, it's like a family party. And I get that it's a birthday party. But you want to have a separate cake for everyone there? He goes, yeah. And I go, who's paying for it? He goes, I don't know. So I was just like, all right. So, I mean, we're going to go. We're going to pick up decorations. And he was worried about the decorations, too. And I was like, hey, we'll go to the dollar store. We'll figure it out. So we came up with a budget. We came up with, like, who to invite. You know, the party planning, and I think I have all the stuff in the cabinet anyway, you know, just pull it out. But, we'll go to the store. I'll let them figure it out.
Is there like a cupcake store where you could just go pick a different flavor cupcake for each person?
That's actually what I'm going to do, but I need to let him get to that, like, point B, you know what I mean? I mean, the innocence I love how hard he's working. I laugh because I think it's cute. I'm not making fun of him whatsoever. And he's really working really hard. So I was like, well, I'll get you the game that you really want. But he whipped out this $400 magazine that he wants. So
tell him you don't negotiate with terrorists.
I will. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
No strong.
Wait, let's give him, hold on. I've got this really funny little thing in Boston in this cute shop, but let me see if I can give Devin a round of applause. Hold on. Let's see if it works in the mic.
Yes.
Does that sound like what I think it sounds like? Does it actually sound like applause?
It does. And there's a little cheering too. That's amazing.
Yes, there was this funny little, it was like an apothecary back in the day. And like, they still sell like all these like old toys. So it's like this old fashioned toy and you press buttons and it makes funny noises. So listen, you can make crickets.
That is a good one.
And it had like all these old fashioned candies and just really old, weird crap. It was bizarre.
That's a good one for when you're really bored of hearing someone talk. Just like put that on and be like, you're done.
I'll just do this one. So yeah, that's my new little noisemaker. Yeah, I loved Boston. I loved it. Like, I want to move there. It was so clean.
That's so cool.
So much just the history, the food. So I'm not a foodie, right? Like, I don't go to cities and like immediately I have to go to like every, like, you know, Michelin star, whatever. Like, I want to go to like places that serve nice food, but it's not like I need to look up every celebrated chef.
I don't do that either.
However, I felt like every place I went to eat in Boston, even like, doesn't matter if it was just for like to pop in somewhere and grab a sandwich or a muffin, was amazing. It was just delicious. They had so many good vegetarian and vegan options, so many good low fat options that didn't taste low fat. They didn't taste disgusting. I really liked it. It was a really nice city. So 10 out of 10, highly recommend. I love it. And I just have to travel more. Where's the year gone, Steph? How are we already going to be in September?
Yeah, I know.
I feel like, okay, here we go. It's going to be Labor Day and then Halloween and then Christmas. Happy New Year.
I don't know, but...
Yeah, my daughter has her back to school open house in 2 weeks. That's it. Like the summer's done. Yeah.
People were freaking out about school supplies the other day. And so I was like, no. I mean, I'm looking forward to, I like wearing fall clothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like wearing, you know, my spooky, like, Halloween clothes that I bust out September 1st, but
but you're sweating.
It stays warmer in North Carolina longer. We're usually like 3 or 4 weeks behind season wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, to be honest, even here, with it's kind of hot in September, it'll still be really warm. We really can't wear anything that's, you know, even remotely long sleeve until October. Seriously, September, I'm still sometimes in tank tops when I'm going to the school to pick up the kids. So
everyone here, we all try to wear our cute like boots or leggings and shit, and we're sweating our ass off. Yeah, it's too early for us, but we all still try to do it. Where
usually at night, the heat breaks, right? Like, it at least goes down to 80 or 75 or something. But last night, the temperature went up to 102. And I was like, why? Why? Why is this our lives right now? So I have a question. Since I know you're Colombian, you are a representative of all Colombian people, correct?
Oh my God, sure.
I almost asked you this while I was watching the show, but I went back and I did something I never do, which was hold myself back. And I deleted the text message and I said, nope, I will save this for the podcast. So there's a show on TLC and it is a garbage TV show that I love when I'm home alone, sitting in the dark, all the lights off, and no one knows I'm watching it. It's called Smothered. And on the show, it's about like mothers who have way too close relationships with their daughters. And a mother-daughter duo on the show are both 100% Colombian. And they said that they love to do everything naked. They hang out in bed naked. They cook. They clean. They do, I mean, they have tickle fights together. And they're like in a nightie and naked, just like tickling each other, like having a great time chasing each other around the house. And I'm like, oh my God. And finally, the mom goes, it's very common in Colombia for everyone to just walk around naked or see your parents walk around naked. And so I was dying because I was like mortified for this family on national television doing what they're doing. And so I was like, well, I'll just ask Natalia, do you walk around naked all the time in front of everyone with like your blinds open trying to have tickle fights?
So I am right now 100% going to speak on behalf of all Colombians everywhere
in the world.
Yes, on the entire earth, and tell you that we absolutely do not have any kind of habit of walking around the nude. No. Mm-mm.
All right, it's been debunked.
What? The fuck is she talking? First of all, in Colombia, it is 99% Catholic. And not Catholic like a little dip in the toe Catholic. I'm talking about Catholic like my grandmother on her time off would sew, embroider the altar cloth for the priests, okay? Like prayed the rosary every night kind of Catholics. They were prudes. If I wore a bikini, it was considered, you know, like immodest. It was never okay to be naked or like that. No. I don't know what that woman is. I don't know if it's a mental issue. I don't know if she's on drugs. I mean, it sounds like they have a lot wrong there. A lot wrong.
Probably. A lot of codependency.
I mean, the whole relationship sounded wrong before you even got to the they don't wear clothes part. But no, we do not ever remember having a habit of walking around naked.
Right.
My mom was the type of mom that if I wore a skirt, I had to wear shorts underneath. Like, no, that's bizarre. I don't know why it sounds like something she just made up to like excuse her behavior. Sick.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. She made it up to excuse the behavior. So I was just dying. I was mortified watching the show. That's why I could not turn it off. And I was just like, I don't think they're blurring enough. I'm uncomfortable looking at this and I'm totally fine.
I can't. That's like if two cousins got married and then said like, well, everybody in West Virginia does it. Like, no, honey. No, you just made that up. Like, just to excuse yourself. Like, no. Mm-mm. Yeah, like, no, you just made that up.
Okay.
That's fucking crazy. Ew. First of all, what are two adults, like doing running around having like tickle fights like with your mom. Like, yeah, I don't know. That makes me feel uncomfortable. The idea of running around after my mom to tickle her just feels weird, even with clothes on. I'm sorry. Like, I don't mean to offend anybody. Maybe people do that, but that feels kind of weird. But then like, just the idea of walking around and doing everything naked like that is like gross.
I feel like it's dangerous. Like cooking while naked. I feel like that's, well, sanitary.
I understand there are people who are very comfortable like walking around like in their underwear and just like their panties and stuff, and like they cook and do everything, and like, fine, if you're not cooking with like a frying pan or oils, like you're not going to burn yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll be fine, but if you're living with your mom, like, ew.
Too close for comfort.
If you're living with your partner, or maybe even if like your children are very small, like toddlers, but not your grown children, that's gross.
Yeah, she's in her, I don't remember how old she is, but she's definitely in her 20s. It's weird. And there were other people on the show who were like, oh yeah, we lived 5 houses away from my mom and we sold our house and now we live 4 houses away from my mom. And I was like, ugh.
No. Mm-mm. Boundaries.
Yeah.
Talking about boundaries, how about I just heard that the world's oldest conjoined twins that were conjoined at the scalp, they were separated by 2 surgeons who were on 2 separate continents. They were doing it through virtual reality.
That is, I didn't know they were on 2 separate continents, but I did see the picture of the babies that were conjoined. And I didn't read all the information. How were they? Was it just like skin? Was it bone? Was it?
I didn't read through all of it. But I mean, just the fact that they did that without being there.
Yes.
With their hands on it. Such a complicated surgery to begin with.
Yeah.
Is incredible to me. And then they would survive. I mean, that's mind blowing.
As a parent, how could you be like, all right, so my kid is here and there's no one else in the room? Like, I don't understand.
When you think about the benefits that they could live a normal life and that these doctors might be the only ones who can do it. I don't know. Ron and I were talking about it and Ron's like, what are those doctors' excuses for not taking a plane and performing that surgery in person? Like, what could possibly stop you from scheduling an operation, even if it's a week later or 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later? He's like, the only reason you would do that is for the media.
Yeah. Unless if they 1000% knew that the surgery...
Now, you could never know. There's no guarantees in the medical world. It's impossible. Even in person, there'd be no guarantee.
Right.
But you'd have the best chances in person. You know you would.
Yeah.
I mean, debatable. I mean, if you're in person and you're using a robot, but I mean, I don't know. That's what I heard in the news.
I thought I did see that picture and I just was shocked because it was, you don't hear good news like that a lot, you know? And so it was very, very interesting.
Yes. All right. Would you like to jump into today's story?
Sure. So I'm kind of dying because sometimes I have a little bit of an idea or like there's a hint, like at least I know what continent it's on, you know? I know nothing about this. So I am dying. What is it?
Okay. So I did leave you with a tiny nugget, but I left it so long ago. And to our listeners, guys, I'm so sorry, but there was so much going on. There was moving of houses and so, you know, mm-hmm. life. But a long time ago, I asked you to think about whether someone could consent to being murdered.
Yes. Okay.
So we're circling back around to this idea, right? Not talking about euthanasia. So euthanasia is when someone is asking for help in ending their life because of a debilitating illness. Usually people, when they think of euthanasia, you think of somebody who's dying of cancer, a terminal illness, or even I heard a story about a woman that she had like these debilitating migraines, like for 25 years, like they were, like they made her want to kill herself. So like she asked her husband to help her end her life. They just, she couldn't live like that anymore. So, you know, these kinds of illnesses that make it so that you can't live your life in a normal way. This is what people think of when they think of euthanasia.
Right.
But I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you about the story of Sharon Lopatka, the woman who asked to be murdered. So Sharon Lopatka was born in September of 1961. She's a Virgo, and she was the oldest daughter in a religious Orthodox Jewish family. Sharon's parents expected her to marry an Orthodox Jewish man, pop out lots of babies, and keep herself insulated in this community. But instead, Sharon fell in love with a Catholic construction worker, Victor. And in 1991, they married and they moved away to a city outside of Baltimore. So Sharon starts writing ads for companies online. So this is when the internet was very new. So this is when, for those of us who were on the internet when it was very young, those annoying pop-ups that would come up and say things like, home decorating secrets can be yours for $9.99, click here. And it would take you to like a link and you would buy like a book or you would buy like the online PDF to whatever this recipe was or whatever this online book was. But Sharon had this darker side that she indulged in on the internet.
Uh-oh. Okay.
And look, I'm not here to kink shame.
Right.
If everyone is a consenting human adult, we don't generally blink an eye. Sex is sex, and you do you, boo-boo. That being said, I only call it, quote-unquote, darker to indicate that what Sharon was doing is something that she was hiding from her partner and that it's not your run-of-the-mill vanilla brand sex interest. She's looking for some very kinky things. That's fine. But then it goes past some regular kink. But you'll see.
Okay, okay.
So she goes online and she creates this alter ego for herself. She calls herself Nancy Carlson.
Why? If you're going to make a name for yourself, have it be like Sparkle. Oh, well, I digress.
Very unimaginative. And she claimed to be a 300-pound dominatrix porn star.
Whoa. Okay, Nancy.
Yes. So Nancy Carlson would offer to sell you her dirty underwear.
Nancy, what's your body count? Did she go into this with a sense of humor or was she literally like...
She was serious.
Oh.
No, no. She was about this vibe.
There's always been a Nancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. This. She had a Nancy that she needed to unleash.
Gotcha.
And so she would go into these fetish chat rooms and she would ask men if they wanted to force feed her.
Oh.
Eventually, in these forums, she revealed fantasies of wanting to be tortured to death. And there were other sex workers in these chat rooms and they tried to actually confront her in these chat rooms and they would tell her, like, this is not safe and that she was going beyond what was appropriate in these BDSM chat rooms. But Sharon would basically come out and say, like, don't kink shame me. Like, fuck off.
Okay.
This is one of these weird sticking points that we're going to examine for a minute before we move on.
Mm-hmm.
At what point, if there is a point, is it okay to judge someone's sexual preferences? So I think rational, intelligent people would agree that the basis for what's acceptable is consent and maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Although I bet a lot of people will argue on what age is okay to engage in different acts, and we are not going to open that box right now.
No.
That would be that's a separate box. But after consent and age, what's okay? Because for me, I don't think it's okay to do anything with animals.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna, I don't think I have to elaborate.
Yeah.
I don't make any exceptions to that rule. I don't fucking care. No animals, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
So she's in this realm, in these forums. She's saying anything can go, leave me alone. Other people are coming out and saying, no, there is boundaries. You're crossing them. She's saying, no, in this fantasy world, everything can go. So what is okay? Is there a line or is there no lines?
She's saying it's a fantasy. We can make it up. It's like fantasy football. you can make it. Actually, I have no idea how fantasy football works, but
I don't either. Yeah. I was like, is that how it works? Can you make up a player? Can you make him have superpowers? Can he fly? I guess what I'm saying is there a point where a sexual preference like that, like saying, oh, I want to be tortured to death, should that kind of preference be considered a mental illness? That person is really sick. That person needs some kind of help.
That's a good question.
That's kind of like the basis for this story is this a point where somebody needs to step in and say, no, you no longer have control. Like somebody needs to treat you. Somebody, you no longer have the right to make decisions for yourself because that's too far. You've gone too far.
You've hit a limit.
Kind of like a pedophile.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's a sexual preference that I would say is too far. Like if you say, I want to have sex with a child, we would say, no,
right?
That's not okay. We're going to put you in jail. So if you say, I want someone to kill me, should we step in and say, no, that's not okay. You need to be in a mental hospital.
That's such a hard question because like, what do you, I don't know.
You don't have to make up your mind right now. That's why I'm telling you the story. So here we go. So even though these sex workers tried to stop her, you know, the internet, it's a wild, wild place. There's no way to really take her down. She would just go to a different chat room if she was too bothered. She's trolling these dark chat rooms looking for her quote unquote dream guy. And in August of 1996, she met Robert. He calls himself Bobby Glass.
Wait. Robert Glass, like from the Brady Bunch?
Oh, I don't know. Is that the name of somebody in the Brady Bunch?
That was Marsha's fake boyfriend's name.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Anyways, sorry, go on.
Okay. She was in a chat room, a particularly nasty one that was for necrophilia. So that's where she ended up finding her man, just in case anyone's wondering how dark she had to go.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, in case anyone's wondering what kind of chat rooms are out there, I was like, ew. So Bobby Glass was a computer analyst in North Carolina, so go North Carolina, and was recently divorced because his wife had found his computer stash of child porn and hundreds of dirty emails. It's good for her. She packed up her three kids and she left his sorry ass. Sharon and Bobby developed this relationship online. They started exchanging emails back and forth. They exchanged 900 emails. Do you want to guess how much time passed for those 900 emails to go back and forth? Like, how much time do you think you'd need for that many emails to go back and forth?
Like a month?
Yeah, okay, 2 months. Wow, Steph, you were a month. That's, do you think you could fit 900 emails in a month?
Well, like 3 a day. Oh, wait, no, I did math wrong.
Steph, I'm like, you'd have to not get up from your computer. What do you mean?
I math wrong.
I'm like, what do you mean 3 a day?
Oops.
They didn't have cell phones. Remember, they had to do it from their desktop. They didn't even have laptops in 1996, did they?
Maybe.
I doubt it. Anyway, the Glass was entertaining Sharon's fantasies through these emails, and they finally agreed that she would go visit him at his trailer in North Carolina. So she left her house, and she left a note for her husband, and it said, quote, "If my body is never retrieved, do not worry. Know that I am at peace."
What?
Yeah, so the husband comes home and he finds this letter and reads that. And from what I understand, the letter also stated that she would never be coming home. And oh, by the way, no need to look for the killer.
Sounds like something a killer would write.
The husband was like, fuck this. He took the note to the cops. But the cops are like, all right, this is kind of tricky because there's, yeah, a really creepy note, and there's this woman who's gone, but she's an adult, and she left of her own volition, and it, you know, it looks like she's acting out her own sexual fantasies, because right away, the husband gives them permission to go through the computer. So, I mean, they're looking at this, they're thinking it's just, you know, some BDSM fantasies, and, you know, some people do run out on their families.
Yeah, I mean, I get the thing where people have the right to leave.
I mean, and it looks like she planned to leave. And the emails look like she planned to leave. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't look like she's missing at all. It looks like she planned to leave and she did leave. Because of the violent nature of the emails and all of this, I want you to kill me, I want you to kill me shit. It was just so violent. It worried them enough that they called the police down in North Carolina and said, do you mind just going and taking a look over at the glass trailer and just see if Sharon's around?
Wow. Okay.
The North Carolina police, they go over to the property for a few days. They don't see any sign of Sharon at all. Every day, they see Bobby Glass leave to work. He's punctual, and he never seems hurried or anxious. They're watching him, but they don't see anything suspicious. Finally, on October 25th, the police were able to obtain a search warrant for the trailer and the property. This is kind of incredible because this was one of the first times in history that police secured a search warrant purely on email evidence. Because you have to remember how brand new the internet was. Now we take it for granted nowadays that the cops go through our cell phones, go through Insta, go through Facebook. Like, they just get all our records. But back then, like, nobody went through anything. Like, to even go through someone's computer, you had to get so many permissions. If her husband hadn't given them permission to go through that computer straight off the bat, they would have been so behind on this. So in the trailer, besides the trash piling up everywhere, because apparently he was a pig, they found drug paraphernalia, although no one ever mentions what drugs, a lot of bondage equipment, and a lot of child abuse videos. The most important things they found, though, were items belonging to Sharon, proving that she had been in the trailer. There were no signs of Sharon herself. Outside the trailer is a little different, because not even 75 feet away from his front door, there is a mound of overturned dirt that a couple of dogs will not leave alone. And just another testament to his laziness, the police found Sharon's body under barely 2 feet of dirt.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The cops were perplexed. The prosecutor actually commented on it to the newspaper later, because the glass trailer was set in the middle of nowhere on the edge of like a national forest.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The police said that if Glass had buried her like even like a couple of yards back, they might not have found the body at all.
I'm laughing at his stupidity. My God. So, okay. She left a note and she made it down to North Carolina somehow. And she's like, if you ever find my body, like, don't ask questions. But if you're going to all the trouble, like, I'm having a hard time putting myself in Nancy's shoes. However, if this is your biggest fantasy and you finally found the person who will do it, who will take you to their fantasy world and live out your every single freaking dream, and you show up and it looks like a drug den and they don't even do a good job burying you, like, wouldn't you be pissed? I would haunt them.
I guess it depends how you wanted them to get rid of you. But yeah, I mean, it kind of seems like he did a shitty job. I'd be kind of pissed.
Like, you didn't even like put me on a hill in the forest with like pine cones around me or anything. Like, Jesus.
It kind of seems like you did a shitty job. This is why when you get a contractor, you only pay 50% up front and 50% when the job is done. Because if not, they're not going to finish the job right, or they're not going to come back to finish the job at all. This is what I'm talking about.
This is the moral of the story.
You don't get quality work. Lessons learned the hard way, people.
I agree. Oh my God. Okay, so what happens?
They go and they arrest Glass at his job and they charge him with first degree murder. However, these charges are taken down to manslaughter when all the evidence is presented.
Oh, wow.
Because Glass is very straightforward in his interview when he tells police that on October 13, 1996, he picked Sharon up from the train station and she came to stay with him at his trailer. He and Sharon had consensually planned very rough sex, including the use of bondage, rope, wire, and even using knives. And he said that for 3 days, they acted out these fantasies in his trailer. According to Glass, at one point, he was using a nylon rope to perform erotic asphyxiation, and Sharon died. He said, quote, "I never wanted to kill her, but she ended up dead."
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, we're going to pause here because this is where I'm going to question his narrative on two counts just based on this part of his story. Because one, when you're performing this kind of choke on a person, you can see when it's gone too far. Typically, when death occurs during erotic asphyxiation, it's when someone's doing it to themselves. And it's because they can't get out of whatever ligature or bag they've put over their own head or neck.
Wow.
Yeah, because erotic asphyxiation is you're trying to cut off. If somebody dies, it's they're trying to do it to themselves and they can't get out of it and they die and they're found and it's unfortunate. When it's two people, the second person can see when the other person is dying and the other person can get them out of it fast enough. In this instance, Glass would have been able to gauge when Sharon actually needed oxygen. Her face would have been turning purple. Her eyes would have been bulging out of her head. Maybe if he had been behind her. Anyway, but here's my bigger gripe. Number two, wasn't your plan to actually kill her? Isn't that what you promised her? So when you say, "I didn't want to kill her," I don't believe you. I think that this was the culmination of your fantasy. So whether or not Sharon changed her mind at the last minute, your purpose in this fantasy was to kill her. When you say, "I never wanted to kill her," that's a lie in itself. That automatically, to me, makes you a liar. And so I automatically discount your whole story.
Okay, yeah.
If you had just walked in and said, "Look, she asked me to kill her. That's what I did. I was just doing what she wanted me to do." Like, I would just take that at face value and be like, "All right, he's telling me the truth. He's telling me that he did what she asked him to do." But like this bullshit of, "Oh, I didn't mean to. It was an accident." Like, no, no, it fucking was. Like, I just don't believe him.
Yeah, the part of it being an accident, I don't believe him either.
I know we had both really strong opinions about that. However,
oh my God, yeah.
Let me tell you the rest of the story, because then when I heard the rest of the story, I got very confused. So Glass said he realized after Sharon was dead that he panicked and that he buried her outside. And he said that actually his shitty job in burying her proves that he panicked, that if he had been planning to kill her, that wouldn't he have done a better job at burying her? Or wouldn't he have gone back to bury her better?
Not necessarily.
But that's not the part that confused me.
Oh shit, okay.
We have to talk about the autopsy report. While Sharon's cause of death was ruled as asphyxiation, and her body does show that her lungs were deprived of oxygen and that's how she died, her neck shows no signs of strangulation by a ligature.
So then how did she die?
That's what we don't know, and it gets weirder. Her body didn't show any signs of torture, like, at all. So her body didn't show that for 3 days that she had any kind of rough sex. No bruising, no marks of bondage, no broken blood vessels, nothing.
Maybe he thought it was rough sex, but he just was, you know, not very good at it. I mean, is that I'm not trying to even be funny.
No, so it made me go into like this whole other weird theory, because how else could she die if she has no ligature marks, but her body was deprived of oxygen? I want you to just tell me how else a body would be deprived of oxygen if there's no marks on her neck and she has no marks of her on her body of any torture or bruising. So I thought about this and I was like, how else would you deprive the body of oxygen and stop her from breathing? You would have had to cover her face with something like a bag. And that would have been a way to stop her from getting oxygen and kill her without leaving any marks on her face or her neck.
Like a plastic bag?
Yeah. And I thought, what if he's just this sick killer? He just lured this woman in to his trailer and he put a bag over her head. Or I don't know, maybe he panicked or when he got her into his trailer for whatever reason, whatever. The only way she could have died is that he put a bag over her head. Or maybe this is the one of the first things they tried to play out was the bag over her head. She lost all her oxygen and that's why there's no bruising on her body. They never got to any point where her body got hurt. That's why there's no rope marks, no damage to her entire body. She died right at the beginning.
Did they ever have sex at all?
I think they said that, yeah, that her body showed signs of intercourse.
Weird.
So she was deprived of oxygen, and then he buried her outside, for whatever that means. Whether that means, like, he's some sick psychopath, or whether that means, like, he fucked it up right from the beginning. But that's the only way you could kill a person without leaving any marks on them that I can think of. If a listener out there can think of a different way, they didn't find any toxins in her body, if someone's thinking of poison. But anyway, that wouldn't show asphyxiation in her lungs, and they know she died of asphyxiation.
I'm wondering if he was told by her, like, explicitly to do whatever, X, Y, and Z, why not just be like, all right, this is what she told me to do?
So I've listened to a bunch of different articles on this and a bunch of different podcasts on this. God bless everyone. A lot of killers do this, right? Where they'll talk about their crimes, but then for some reason, there's some part of it that shames them for some reason. And it's like, you don't know why they would admit to some parts that are so grotesque. And then another part of it that seems to us to be the least of it, they won't admit to.
Yeah.
Do with that what you will. He was convicted of voluntary manslaughter, as well as 6 counts of child pornography. He was sentenced to 6 years. And that is only because the child porn added 2 years to that sentence.
Oh my gosh.
Yep, we give more time to people who sell pot on the streets. I cannot even. But that's okay, because in 2002, after only 2 years in prison, Glass died of a heart attack at 52 years old, so he can fuck right off. In contrast, the other story, and I should have gotten the names, sorry guys, I haven't had time. The story I was talking about, the woman with those debilitating headaches, her husband, who killed her at her request, ended up getting sentenced to like 12 years. And that was when she was legitimately suffering from an illness that caused her real pain, saying, I don't want to live like this anymore. And that man was sentenced to way more than this guy.
I don't know how to say this without sounding awful.
It's okay, I'm awful too, say it.
Why don't you just do it yourself? Instead of putting someone else through that, like if someone came to me and was like, I can't live like this anymore, why are you asking me? I don't want to do it to you.
I think that it's too scary. It's too, you're too afraid of the pain. The idea of like slicing your own wrist or pulling the trigger, like you just can't. It's really hard. The idea of it is impossible. Even if you're physically suffering, you have to ask somebody else to do it because you can't kill yourself.
I mean, I wouldn't want anyone to do it, obviously.
Your body will stop you. The idea of hurting yourself can't do it. At the last second, you'll stop. It's so terrifying. You just can't do it.
Like that sudden hesitation. So if the fact that Nancy Carlson wasn't able to do this herself, does that show that she wasn't mentally or that she was mentally sound? Because she could have done erotic asphyxiation and just done it.
All right, so let me think about this. If you can't do it yourself, but it's still a legitimate, valid request that needs to be honored, I guess, oh, fuck.
Sorry, I had to go there. I mean, it doesn't sound like Nancy was of sound mind, but if someone is of sound mind.
Okay, so, oh my God. All right, I guess here's the thing. If somebody wants to kill themselves, like wants to commit suicide, we would say that they're depressed, right? Or that they're bipolar and that they need help, psychiatric help, correct? We wouldn't just abandon that person and say, sure, do what you want. Generally the attitude that most cultures have. In the same way, if Sharon has this desire to have somebody else kill her, shouldn't somebody step in and say, you should get help, you should talk to someone about that? It's different than the person who's dying of cancer. It's different than the person who wakes up every day and has so much pain that they can't see straight or walk. That's the difference, the physical. And so the same way that somebody who's depressed needs to talk to somebody to heal and view life in a different way, that's what Sharon needed, was to speak to somebody and heal and view life in a different way.
So is it of sound mind for a sexual desire or not?
Yes, but if it gets to the point where you're asking somebody else, oh shit, Steph!
Right? If we're gonna have to get the police involved because of your fantasy, that's when.
Okay, let's take a break.
Okay.
Did you have a chance to think about it and come to a conclusion about whether or not she has a right or anyone has a right to ask another person to kill them? Like, should he have done any jail time at all if he was just doing what she wanted him to do?
What he did sounds like not legit at all. I feel like there should be something more. Maybe someone can have the right to do that, but usually, and I am not a doctor or a medical professional, but I just feel like there should be like steps before you get to that spot where you're like, I want to die, because we would get involved if someone said in any other instance. So that's my take on it. But what he did, I think he had an opportunity and took it, is kind of how I feel. I don't know. It's such a weird situation because of where she was buried, how she was supposedly killed. And his story just doesn't line up, his weird confession, not confession. And that's my two cents.
But let me ask you a question. And I didn't find anything that said this at all, so I'm assuming that there wasn't. But if there was, would this change your mind? If Sharon had left some kind of letter, maybe even like a notarized letter, something official that said, these are my wishes. This is exactly how I want it to happen. This is who I want to do it. This is like my exact instructions. Would that change your perspective on what happened? Is the fact that there's nothing that can corroborate his story what makes it fishy?
I think that I guess it would make it just more official of what she wanted. I mean, I know what she wanted. But how it went about is just so bizarre. I wonder if her situation also would have been different if she knew maybe she, and I'm inferring because of how she died or the outcome, but I wonder if she was like, she really wanted a certain type of like sexual fantasy, but didn't know what it was called or how it was done. Like, didn't know where to go to because the internet was new and things were still being explored and things were not as they are even today, where there's still acceptance and things like that. No?
Some parts of the story that I didn't even go into, they're like kind of grotesque. At one point, she was offering to sell videos of girls, young girls getting raped.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, like really grotesque things. Like she knew the names of things. She was well aware of like the ins and outs in the kink community. Like I don't feel like she was in any way naive about what she wanted or how she wanted it done to her. Like that was a part of it. Like she was dirty. She was a dirty girl. She was dirty Nancy. She promised people in these chat rooms filthy, filthy things. So no, but we'll never know what the plan was. Was her plan a 3-day plan? Or is it plan a 7-day plan? Like what was the plan? And we don't ever see the emails. I don't know if I'd read through 900 emails. I mean, but we don't even know what the emails say. So she was a con artist. So she was not a nice person. So she would promise people these videos over the internet. And people would send her whatever it was, like the $39.99. Then she just wouldn't send them the video. But of course, you can't go to the police and admit that you were paying for a video of girls getting raped. So then these people would just lose money. And the only thing they could do was bitch about it on the dark web.
Oh my gosh. I kind of want to know what the emails say. But after you told me about those videotapes or recordings, I'm like, no.
But she didn't care. She would just go and scam more people or change her username or like change her persona. Like she didn't stay as Nancy. She had all these other personas and all these other, like she would change her appearance and change her names and like whatever. But like she was a con artist.
Nancy, you bad girl.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really feel sorry for the people who wanted to buy rape videos either, though. So, I mean, like, fuck everybody.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for them at all.
It's just like this seedy underworld that she was just sinking into.
Yeah.
You think about this was back in like the mid-90s, early 90s. If that's how it was then, it must be just, I can't even, beyond disgusting now.
The dark web. I would love to know.
I would not even want to think about setting foot beyond my comfy, cozy, warm and fuzzy little Google. I don't ever want to go beyond my warm and fuzzy Facebook, my warm and fuzzy Instagram.
Yeah, right.
And I don't want to know. And I know that there's people who are like, oh, well, you know, Facebook's on the other side of it and blah, blah. You know what? La, 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 la. I don't want to know, guys. The less I know, the happier I am, because I'm already complicit in this entire freaking simulation, okay? I'm too deep in it. I'm too old to get out. They have my number. They watch me all the time. Just today, I'm scrolling through Facebook and the ads that are popping up. I'm like, I know you've been listening to every thought in my head. Literally things I haven't even said out loud, I'm getting ads for.
The algorithm. It should be one of the seven wonders of the world, I swear to God.
I don't want to know. I don't.
I have no desire. I don't know how to get there. I don't need to know.
We're going to leave that well enough alone. But yeah, that was my little story of people asking to get murdered. I'd never think that there would be people out there asking for somebody to do to them what is essentially my worst nightmare, is getting murdered.
Oh, no.
Fucking insane. A murderino's worst fucking nightmare.
I know.
I've been in this kind of wild, wild west mode because since school is starting in basically 2 weeks, I've just been trying to soak up whatever kind of non-schedule peace I can until school kicks in and we have to get back into what I think of as real life mode with the insaneness that is middle and high school with the kids. Morning schedules, afternoon schedules, and the sport. So it's like, I basically go through the day and like, yes, I have to do laundry and the dishes and like, but for the most part, I mean, because my kids are bigger, I'm like, feed yourselves. Don't starve. Occasionally bathe. Don't burn down the house. I'm here if you need me, but you can pretty much go to bed when you want, wake up when you want, and I'll let you know like there's anything coming up on a certain day, like a dentist appointment or something like that, that you need to know about. And that's how it's going to be from now until school starts. Because we only have like this tiny little nugget left of the summer. I can't wrap my head around the fact that like soon I'm going to have to go back this locked in mode of packing lunches, making breakfasts and all of this shit. Feed yourselves. You can do it. I did it. You'll be fine. Come out of your rooms when you absolutely have to. And that's it. Try not to bother me. That's how we're playing it right now in my house. So
will you enjoy?
Alrighty, everybody stay safe and stay hydrated. And that's it.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.